No, you go under and you look at all the gifts and you say, which one has my name on it? But as you grow older, you see the joy in somebody else's face when you give, and you see that blessing it is to them. We gave a little gift to Justice this morning, and it was so cute because he walked in and I gave him the bag, and he says, "For me?" And that's the joy, to see, you know, oh, that is for me. And so there's joy in giving. And of course, our Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I've never watched anything about the Grinch, but I understand that the Grinch says it is better to receive, right? And that's a Grinch. When you think it's better for you to get than for you to give. But unfortunately, that does reflect the attitude of a lot of people, that it is better to receive. The Lord Jesus Christ's life was characterized by giving. 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was gracious. "That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And so I want us to see this afternoon very briefly that a Christian does not give because he is rich. He is rich because he gives. In other words, a Christian does not give because he is happy. He is happy because he gives. And right here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David is about to turn the reins over to his son Solomon. He knows he's not going to be on this earth when the temple is built, because God has given that to his son Solomon, not to him as a man of war. And he is rejoicing in the first verses of chapter 29 in what he has been able to give. And then you get to verse 9, and now it's the people who are rejoicing. Look at what it says. "Then the people rejoiced." And here's why they rejoiced. "For that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy." I want us to see three secrets in this verse for joyful giving, and here's the first one. It's the object. Think about the object of your giving. Here in verse 9, to the Lord. The one secret ingredient that is so important is to whom you give. To some people, it's hard to give. But to the Lord, it's something else. David is giving, again, as you see in the first verses of this chapter, he is giving as king so much. And yet he would never see this temple. How can that be? He would never see what he's giving his money toward. And yet he's giving it in verse 9. The people in verse 9 are giving to the Lord. And even David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Giving to the Lord will actually restrict your giving. Because to whom you give is how you give what you give. And I think that teaches us something. When you're giving money, when you're giving an offering, be careful to whom you give. Why give where your offering will be used to impede the spread of the gospel? Why give, even in a will, something you leave behind, for what somebody is going to take to dilute or use the gospel to build their own empire or a name for themselves? There's no joy, folks, in supporting the work of the devil. There's no joy. I find it interesting that so many widows give to ecumenical causes and they build the Church of Antichrist. So many people give to things that build something else other than the kingdom of God. The key is, as we see with the Corinthians in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5, where they say in verse 5, where Paul says of them, they first gave of themselves to the Lord. When you give yourself first, then what you give is in keeping with having given yourself to the Lord. Somebody once said, if one first gives himself to the Lord, all other giving is easy. If you are truly given over to the Lord, you will not be interested in letting others know about it. Jesus said as much in Matthew 6 when he said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, that you be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." The first ingredient for joyful giving is having the right object to the Lord. We could say that that's to whom I give. That's the who. Let's move on to the second one, and this is the how. And this is where we have the adverb in verse 9. Find me an adverb in verse 9. Can you see a word in verse 9? In fact, there's two of them that have the ly at the end, because an adverb is a word that modifies a verb. How did they give? Out loud, somebody? Willing. You all got it. It's willingly. And that's the adverb. That is the word that is repeated in this verse. Does that adverb describe your giving? Cheerfully. Willingly. Paul, again, in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, said, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Not, here's an adverb, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Interesting. I love word studies. And the word for cheerful is hilarion. Do we have a word in the English that comes from hilarion? That's the Greek word. God loves a hilarious giver, a cheerful giver. The true spirit of Christian giving is one of good humor and genuine pleasure. It literally should exhilarate and invigorate the believer, somebody wrote in a commentary on this verse. Think about it. God responds emotionally to how I obey his commands. But we tend to say, as I'm sure the widow woman did when she gave her little penny, we tend to say, "Well, I just don't have much." Bible answers that too. If there first be a willing mind, it is not accepted according to what a man has, not according to what he has not. The first ingredient for joyful giving is the right object to the Lord. The second ingredient is the right adverb, willingly. And the third ingredient, or the third secret, is your motive. The motive in verse 9 has to do with the heart. What kind of a heart is described in verse 9? Perfect heart. That's why I give. So who, how, why? Why am I giving? It's similar to the word that you know in Hebrew. I'm sure you know this Hebrew word. All of you know at least one Hebrew word, right? Somebody give me a Hebrew word. Yeah, well, hallelujah, yes. But that's not Hebrew. That's English, Greek, Hebrew. Everyone, every language, by the way, says hallelujah the same way. But the one Hebrew word, somebody said it, is shalom. When you say shalom, what are you saying? Peace. You're saying blessing. It literally has to do with completeness. It's translated perfect here in verse 9. It's a whole heart. Listen, it's really peace be unto you. That's the word shalom. And these people, when they gave, did so with a perfect or a heart at peace with what they're doing on the outside. Their heart is in it. I can be giving on the outside, rah, 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 put this pin, you know, put the money in it. Or I can have mixed motives, or I can be giving with a perfect heart. Romans 12:8, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." That means with no strings attached. We read that God gives to both evil and good. The basis of his giving is that for God so loved. And the basis of his giving is love. If we ask ourselves if giving pays, we only betray our true motivation, selfishness. I'll give because I might get something back. If I give something to him, maybe they'll give something to me. That's not true giving. That's not love. That's selfishness. Selfishness never inspires joy. And the attitude of getting always results in unhappiness and discontent. True joy is giving without expecting anything in return. Luke 6:35, our Lord said this, "Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again." Giving in order to receive is not giving at all. It's trading. It's not giving. And giving is a form of worship. How often when we have our offering, you'll hear me say, this is our opportunity to worship the Lord in giving Him His tithe and our offerings. So worship is not something that focuses on us. It focuses on God. It is giving to Him. It is ascribing to Him His worth for who He is. The motive why I give is therefore important. Now, these same three ingredients, these same three things that I call the secret of joyful giving, who, how, why, all of those are the same things seen in Exodus chapter 25, verse 2, that we saw years ago when they were building the tabernacle in the wilderness. And when Moses said, have the people bring their things for the building of the tabernacle, speak unto the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. The Lord said, of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And here's the response. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. And remember what the offering was like that day? They brought way too much. And they said, you got to stop the people. Stop them from bringing anymore. We can't take it all. Now, that wasn't money. Those were items, and therefore they just couldn't have the wherewithal to store it all. But nevertheless, they gave so much that they had to stop them. The first ingredient necessary for joyful giving is the right object to the Lord. The second ingredient or secret necessary is the right adverb, I give willingly. And the third one is the right motive, why I give, and with a perfect heart. Lord, help us to be reminded, again, of these simple truths.